My name is Leila Milani, and I'm a policy advocate for an amazing organization called Futures Without Violence. I study, I analyze the problem of violence against women and children throughout the world, and I make policy recommendations and provide solutions with the help of other coalition members to members of Congress and to any US government administration. Violence against women can take many forms. It can look like domestic violence. It can look like an honor killing. It can look like early or child marriage, and it can look like human trafficking. In the over two decades of work I've done in the space of policy and advocacy, I've come to one very clear, precise understanding that many of the problems we face today, whether it's degradation of our environment, whether it's access to health care or access to quality education, or ending violence, every one of these problems arises when any one group thinks of its own well-being in isolation from that of its neighbors. One of the places where I've seen this link very vividly and alarmingly and clearly, in the space of global human trafficking, slavery, as we know it, is not legal anywhere in the world, but it happens in every single place. We have 45.8 million people in 167 countries that have fallen prey to the scourge of human trafficking and slavery. And you know why? Because human trafficking is a $150 billion industry. $150 billion, and that's a B, industry in the world. So who are the people who are affected by slavery? Are we just talking about sex trafficking in some brothel in Thailand? No, we're not. And it's not that far away from us. Faces of human trafficking include an 8-year-old little girl tied, bounded, to a rug loom in India. They include a domestic servant enslaved by the hands of wealthy Saudi Arabian billionaires, where she provides chores, services, and is beaten regularly. Human trafficking includes a young teenage girl who runs away from her home in search of a better life, some guidance, some help. But instead of social services and a safety net to catch her, she falls prey to the hands of human traffickers. It includes a migrant worker in Nepal who is tricked and exploited by the hands of a recruiter who is bound to build a beautiful stadium in Qatar so that many of us can go watch the World Cup in 2022. These are the faces of human trafficking. So, why is human trafficking so successful? Why is this $150 billion industry working? Well, I gave you some rough numbers, some alarming and shocking numbers that I'm sure upsets you. It upsets me. I have one more sobering fact to share with you, though. Human trafficking works because we let it work. Because we all play a part. If you think of human trafficking as a chain, the closest chain to the trafficked, the furthest away could be us. We have to break this chain. What are the pieces of the chain that have bounded it together? And what do we need to do to break that bond? Profit and demand and increasing human vulnerabilities are the two big factors why human trafficking is in existence today, more than ever in the history of humanity. When the guy who is trying to sell his rugs, the manufacturer in India, sets up his shop in India, why does he go and get an 8-year-old girl? It makes very good sense. He goes and gets the 8-year-old girl for a number of reasons. Number one, he doesn't have to pay her much. Number two, he can make her work very long hours. Number three, he has to put zero investment in the work environment and conditions. Number four, what does this 8-year-old girl have that a 40-year-old woman doesn't have? She has very small hands. She has small fingers. And with those fingers, she can weave a beautiful rug for you and I to enjoy in our living rooms. And that's the second part. That's our part. That's the demand part. We buy the rugs, we furnish our homes, and we put a lot of time and energy into identifying the best sale ever. How much do we put into identifying the best companies? The companies that do due diligence to make sure the supply chain is not tainted, making sure they're not 8-year-old girls making those rugs for us. We don't put much demand on the market to make sure that things are made ethically, that there is fair trade. That's on us, my friends. With the 65 million displaced persons in the world today, and a lot of poverty and conflict in the world, environmental hazards, natural disasters, inequality of sexes, there is no surprise that there is a breeding ground of human beings that are there to be exploited. You see, the fact that we have so many vulnerable individuals in the world contributes and feeds into this industry who preys on the needs of the vulnerable. It makes sense, right? So when the carpet maker or the manufacturer wants to identify an 8-year-old girl, it's not that hard for him to do so. Because this family in India who doesn't value the education of the girl child is more willing to give away their girl so that she can at least make some money for them. Why do they need the money? Because they're in debt. When the migrant worker is easily tricked into traveling to Qatar to work in deplorable conditions, he does so because he is desperate. He does so because he is destitute. He does so because the human trafficker takes advantage of his vulnerability. So now, all the bad news put away, let me give you some good news. I don't want you to go away thinking, oh, I'm a horrible person because I bought that rug. I want you to go away thinking, what can I do to change the tide? What is our role in changing the tide here? And my friends, the good news is we can change it and we can end human trafficking. This is how. We all know, and people of many faiths know and agree with this, that man's merit lies in service and virtue, not in the pageantry of wealth and riches. This is a paradigm shift that must take place for all of us to change our focus on what we value and what we spend our time doing. Spend our time focusing on servicing others. We need to transform and change the shift. It's not enough that the governments change their laws and provide into place amazing programs. What needs to happen, friends, is that we need to play a part in breaking this chain. And here's three very easy steps as we leave this building today. Give your money. Be responsible and donate to organizations that are doing good work and supporting the work to end the vulnerabilities of populations and advocating for policies and laws that change the scourge of human trafficking. Demand accountability when you purchase goods or services throughout the world. Be an informed consumer. Know what you're buying and who's making it for you before you put it on, before you eat it, before you go on a trip. Be in the know, friends. And last but not least, give your time. Work with vulnerable populations. Work with the homeless shelters. Work with teenagers. Work with organizations that are there to provide services to be the safety nets to catch the vulnerable youth or adults. We have a part to play, and these are not very difficult tasks. It requires transformation. Finally, if you do that, if you make that shift, if you let striving for serving others be your guide, that rather than demanding goods and services for yourself, you become what the vision of the Baha'i Faith is, that your vision will be one to embrace the world. Let your vision be world embracing. and rather than confined to your own selves. Thank you.